This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever could try to go stop it. Only we talking the truth, only we talking the truth, ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose, you know it's Taz and Moose, ayy.
All right, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. And we talked hour number one about the Houston Astros, their Game 2 victory last night over the Yankees in the ALCS. Even up that series at a game apiece, Taz. And earlier in the day, if you're a Houston sports fan, the Texans put on an absolute show, down 17-3. Were the Houston Texans on the road in Kansas City against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at Arrowhead. And then they come storming right back. Blink of an eye, you know, they are right back in that football game. You get the sack and fumble late first half. They're able to punch it in from there. They end up winning the game by a touchdown, 31-24, the final two-point conversion, hold on defensively for the lead. I mean, we can get into the issues in Kansas City, but that Texan team for Deshaun Watson, I mean, it's a fun team to watch because he's a hell of a young quarterback, and he is worth the price of admission if you're showing up to an NFL game. He's got weapons all over the place. Yeah, offensive line, Laramie Tunsil has solidified the left side of that offensive line. He hit some mammoth blocks yesterday, and that Chief defense, which is all banged up, would change the defensive coordinator. A lot of that personnel in that defense, missed tackles galore. They're showing some massive issues. You know, the week previous they get run over by the Indianapolis Colts, back at home, here come the Houston Texans, have a decided lead, and then blow that lead. But from that point forward, after they being down 14, from that point forward, the Texans were by far the better team.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I caught some of this game, then I watched the highlights at the end, but as I was watching all the games, but and you're right about Deshaun Watson. I mean, when this guy's on, he's on. I mean, when he's on. I mean, you know, and we've seen games where he's not on, but geez, I mean, he was on. Hyde ran the ball really well, over 100 yards, north of 100 yards rushing. Their whole offensively, the time possession was dominant. First downs, dominant. They just dominated. And this is against the Chiefs. Yeah. I mean, I did not expect this. In KC, this happens. How impressive is that by the Houston Texans? Really, it's something else.
It is. You're right. And I think the Texans now at 4-2 are one of those teams that you got to take notice of. And I guess it's, we all understand it's, you know, the Patriots and then it's kind of everybody else, and take your pick in terms of where New England's going to be. And we're only sitting here in early October, Taz, midway point of the month of October. And a lot can change here over the next, handful of months before the end of the NFL regular season. But the Texans are one of those teams that people have been waiting. They paid a hefty price to try and solidify that offensive line. And if they're able to keep Watson upright, They've got so many weapons on offense. With you know now with Hyde and Duke Johnson in that backfield, right. And then when you look at the wide receivers of Hopkins, Fuller, now Kiki Kuti is another one that is a you know a good third down guy, a guy that can get deep as well, kind of a guy that you could throw in the slot or on the outside. You know they're a fun team. They really are a fun dynamic offensive team to watch, and their defense ain't half bad either. After trading Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason too, the Seattle Seahawks.
I know. What's interesting, and this, trust me, I'm not taking away from a victory on the road against a super high top AFC team and an arguably one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league in Pat Mahomes that they were able to get this victory by the Texans. I'm not burying that, but I do think next week will be impressive. They're going on the road playing the Colts off of a bye week for the Colts. And the Colts, who have shot a lot of people, have a really strong offensive line, they can get another win here. Right, they are playing that game in Indianapolis, I think. Right, that is, they're on the road, I believe. That right there, to me, would be like, okay, yeah. I don't know if I'm totally sold yet. That's my point on the Texans, but this was impressive as hell. I'm not painting any negativity on them. I'm just saying, I want to see them. Let's see them go, and yeah, that's on the road against Indianapolis. Indy coming off of the bye week. You know, and let's see.
So let me reverse a little bit. Say if they lost yesterday to the Chiefs 31-24 right. And then beat the Colts. Why right. would the Colts game be more, would you say it's more meaningful? Or you want to see them handle success after beating the Chiefs? You want to see them go back on the road and beat Indy?
Yeah, that's it. Just back-to-back to me would be so impressive, right? Really, that would be impressive to be able to do that. Two good offensive lines you're going against, one in the Chiefs, one in the Colts. You know, it's the game's won and lost in the pit, as we all know. That would be impressive. That would be impressive. We'll see. I think that's going to be a good game, Colts, Texans.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I think if Indianapolis is able to run the football the way that they did against Kansas City, I think dominate the line of scrimmage, Taz, I think the Colts can remain a lot of these games. I mean, the Colts are a really solid team. They are, and have shown themselves right. to be able to handle and do it a little bit differently. And that coaching staff to adjust, even though they had an inkling that Luck was leaning that way, to adjust as an organization with the retirement of Luck to still go out there and put together the performance and the winning game plans that they have, because they do it a lot differently with Brissett at quarterback than they would have with Luck.
And but for the Texans, back to the Texans, for them, it was last week, right? They beat up on the Falcons.
Yes.
I think that really helped them get their mojo. Because remember, just a few weeks back, early in the season, I think they lost to they got shut out by the Cowboys. I know that. It was like 30-0 or 32-34, something like that. Then they lost to the Rams too. You know, they had a couple of several. They lost to the Saints. All good teams, but
their only two losses are Saints and Panthers.
Saints and Panthers. I thought they lost to Saints and Panthers.
Saints was the opening week.
Oh, you know, they got beat up. I'm thinking, I watched the whole game. That's why. Preseason game.
Oh, preseason.
That's
game.
Why I got confused. I remember they played you're right. My bad. Yeah.
The Panthers shut
the
them
Cowboys
down.
In the regular season. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
The Panthers shut them down. The Panthers went into Houston and they beat them 16-10.
16-10.
Right. Right. And then the next week they put up 53 points on the Atlanta Falcons. Talk about a dead coach walking. I mean, that Dan Quinn, after another loss yesterday in Arizona, he is going to be looking for work very, very shortly, maybe even before the end of the season. You know, I don't know. Taz, I agree with you in terms of handling success. I think it would be disappointing for if they would go on the road and lose to Indianapolis, especially with the way they've played the past couple weeks offensively. They've put up 84 points in the last two games, which is really impressive. Now, not two great defenses. Falcons are nothing to write home about. And the Chiefs' defense is a work in progress for new defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. But I think that offense gives them a chance every week. I do think if they're able to run it with Hyde and with what Watson, if he's able to take care of the football, Taz, I think that offense gives them a shot each and every week to be able to win some football games.
Yeah, I agree. And that AFC South now, them being the Texans, sitting in first place at 4-2, and the Colts right behind them. And again, like I said, Colts coming off that bye week.
Yeah.
That's another reason why, to me, it makes that game very intriguing next week.
Are you concerned about Kansas City?
I think they bounce back. So to answer your
Mahomes
question,
with the ankle injury, re-aggravated yesterday in that Texans game.
Yeah, I'm not concerned.
Defense, nothing to write home about.
I know. You're right. I'm not... I mean a little bit. I think they play Denver next, and they're on the road against Denver, and that's Thursday night, I think. Yeah, it's this Thursday.
Yep.
They're playing Denver. I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back games. Do you? I mean, you think that?
Well, they've lost two in a row now, Colts and Texans. So could they lose three in a row? No, I think they'll beat the Broncos. But I don't know if I necessarily learn that much about that Denver team. I wouldn't say that I'm concerned about Kansas City. I think losing two straight games, especially at home, Taz, is a little bit alarming. Especially when you're at home at Arrowhead Stadium and it's the Colts and the Texans coming to town. You're a healthy favorite over Indianapolis. I think you're a double-digit favorite over the Colts, and you lose that game outright, and Indianapolis was by far the better team that night. And then you're leading the game 17-3 at home with Mahomes at quarterback, and you lose the game 31-24. I guess the style and fashion which those games went down, two different ways you lost those games. One, you just got your ass beaten.
Right.
The Colts went in there and just basically said, we're gonna rear back, we're gonna run it down your throat, we're gonna beat up your offensive line, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Kansas City, I think, showed me a little bit of softness to them in that Colt game that was a little alarmed by. And then you look at the game yesterday, I thought, okay, when they were and I like the Texans going into the game, when they were leading 17-3, I said, all right, man, not gonna be the Texans' day.
Right.
And then watching that game and watching the Houston roll right back, I guess I was a little surprised with the way that it went down. I'm not alarmed, but I'm just surprised by the way they played the last 2 weeks.
And you're right. The Texans did roll right back to put up 20 in the second quarter. Definitely. I guess as far as the Chiefs, is the long answer to answer your question. Yeah, I don't say I'm worried about them. I don't know. I always feel like the Chiefs are just a foregone conclusion that they're like the new modern-day Patriots, but they're not showing that lately, so maybe not. I mean, last year was different, and I don't know. I mean, Hill played good too, right? Didn't he? He had a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, Hill came back. He had a couple of touchdown receptions.
Kelsey
correct.
Played pretty good. I mean, he had like 58 yards. I'm looking at it here, but running game, not much happening. Shady McCoy had 44 yards. I mean, they didn't have much of a running game going on there. And like you said, Mahomes with the ankle, so he can't really, run amok like he normally does if he's scrambling.
No, he can't. You're right about that. And Hill is a game changer. He is. But I guess I was looking at their early part of their schedule, right? Beat the Jaguars. Foles gets hurt.
Yeah.
Then go on the road, beat Oakland. Right? I know the Raiders, but Oakland was kind of finding themselves.
You never know with Oakland. That's the thing with them.
Right. And then beat the Ravens. Whose defense is nothing to write home about. And that's when the Ravens were going for two.
That was a close game, though. Right.
It was 33-28, yeah. Right? Yeah. Didn't play that well. Detroit should never have lost that game in Detroit.
Right.
I mean, Detroit was turning the football over left and right. They were the much better team that day. But they end up winning that game 34-30 and then at back-to-back losses. So, I mean, you almost look at it and they should be happy that they're 4-2. They could easily be a 3-3 football team.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. We'll see. Now they got a short week after coming off a loss. So anybody who's nicked up, banged up, like your quarterback, if you're the Chiefs, you got, because they're playing the Broncos, we said, right? Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, that's a quick turnaround city right there. So, and they're going on the road, I think, right?
Yep,
that's on
in
the road.
Denver.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, it's going to be tough for them.
I mentioned the Falcons, Taz, and I was on Atlanta. I was dead wrong. And Quinn's going to get fired. But that is, you go into Arizona, and you have a guy that is your field goal kicker, Matt Bryant, who's in his early 40s. I think Brian is like 43 years old, Matt Bryant is. He's been around football a long, long time. A former Giant, ended up down in Atlanta. He's been down there a while.
A lot of times these kickers, it feels like these guys 44. Play forever. You don't even think about it. They just keep playing.
I know, you're right. How about this, Taz? Matt Bryant yesterday. So they're down the entire day, right? They actually rally to tie the game up at 27.
Right.
Arizona then scores a touchdown, make it 34-27. Falcons under 2 minutes to go. Matt Bryan hits his running back, Devontae Freeman, in the right flat. He walks into the end zone, right? About a minute 45, minute 46 to go in regulation. Say 34-33. Matt Bryan, who in his career is 57, up until this point, 57 for 57 with extra points. And I know that it's kind of changed here with the line moving back. But 57 for 57 with extra points with either down by one late in the game, and he shanks the one yesterday. You lose the game 34-33.
Can't happen. Just can't happen. You can't do that.
You got it.
And yeah,
that's a tough way to lose, Ted.
It really is.
that's a tough way to lose.
And if you watch this game, man, it was not a lot of defense happening. I mean, both quarterbacks.
No,
man, Ryan and the rookie Kyler Murray, both these guys had way over 340, 350 yards ish in that vicinity. Both guys had several touchdowns. It was just like watching a WAC conference game from like 5 years ago.
It really was.
Or 6 years ago, whatever it was. But it was crazy. I mean, and you know what? Hey, look good for Kyler Murray. Now it comes back. What's that, second win in a row now for the
Cardinals? Yeah, 2-3-1.
Yeah, so that's good for him. So, yeah, but you're right. If you're Matt Bryant, you got to have that footwork, and you can't be kicking the ball. Can't miss that. You can't.
Oh, my God. You missed that extra point.
Can't miss that.
One at that stage. It's 34-33. You step on the field. You think that, at worst, Taz, the Arizona Cardinals got to get themselves into field goal range.
Yeah.
In order to win at the end of regulation, but maybe that game's going to overtime. He misses it. You generate one first down on a Murray scramble. A couple kneel downs later, the game's over.
I didn't see that. Actually, maybe the snap was off. Maybe the hold. Maybe you saw it. I didn't see. Maybe there was something funky with that.
I didn't see if lace. You know, the whole thing laces out.
Right.
I think he just
shanked it.
Yeah.
Nah, that stinks.
Ripped off his helmet, and then you see the reaction from the unnamed Falcon defensive player on the sideline.
Pissed.
And he's just like looking like completely flabbergasted that kick got missed.
Oh,
but
man.
Arizona, they find a way to win it. It's Taz and the Moose with you. We'll come back. The good Kirk Cousins showed up yesterday for the Vikings at home against the Eagles. We'll touch upon that and more. It's Taz and the Moose here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line of 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Before we get to Bogus here, Taz, I want to say congratulations. I saw the big news announcement over the weekend, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah, it's great news.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's cool, man.
You're going to be AEW down in Philadelphia?
Yeah, just going to do a little, call some matches.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to go there on Wednesday and call some matches on AEW Dark. It's a new show they have. Everything's new they have, so what they have, I should say. So this is their show. AEW show on, it's their YouTube show, which actually is like at 700... What was it? 780,000 views?
782, it looked like.
So they're getting ratings. That's downloads, as you know, on YouTube. So they're getting a number that some TV shows aren't getting. You know what I mean? So
that's great.
Yeah, it's really so. And that show's only had one episode. So
explain what AEW Dark is.
I'll explain it. Good point. So basically, what that means is they have matches that they tape before the TNT show that they have. Their live broadcasts. So what they do is they put three matches that they don't air live, and they run it on their YouTube. They post-product it.
Okay.
And then they run it on their YouTube channel, which has like over a 500,000 followers or something. Subscribers, I should say. And then they if you remember Tony Schiavone, do you remember Tony Schiavone?
I know the name,
WCW.
Yes.
He's a great in-studio type guy, and he does the wraparounds in a studio in Atlanta. And then they have the live matches live to tape, you know, at the arena. So those matches don't air on the AEW Dynamite. That's the show on TNT, the live show. These will air on AEW Dark. So they're called Dark because the history of the industry, wrestling industry, matches that don't air on the show, they're called Dark matches.
Right.
Because it's Dark to the TV audience. Now they're taking the word Dark, they're marketing it. It's very smart what they're doing. And they're not putting, like, they have a lot of young guys on the dock, on the AEW dock, but they're also putting the big-time names that they have, the big-time main eventers on there.
Well, that's great.
Like, this past episode, they had Kenny Omega was on it. You know, so that's what he's one of their top guys and is an EVP there. So they really are putting a lot of effort into this, and it's a great, great... I'm a fan of theirs. I mean, and I support them, and they obviously like what I could potentially do. So I'm going to go call some wrestling matches. You know,
well, that's awesome. That's great. I saw the original tweet from Cody, and then I saw you retweet and everything like that, and that's awesome. It's great news. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Certainly, I mean, their popularity, you know, since their launch is getting bigger and bigger. People are loving what they're doing in the ring and in terms of, you know, the wrestling and the content that they're providing as well. It's fantastic. I'm sure it'll be great.
It's cool.
Is that usual before TV, you know, is that the usual case where when a television broadcast starts that usually an hour before there's two or three dark matches?
Yeah.
All
the companies. WWE always did that.
ECW did that too?
No, we didn't do that because we didn't have another platform, another show.
Okay.
It's a good question. I was over an expert. I don't think we ever did dark matches of any sort. We always just, I shouldn't say that. There were matches that didn't make TV because they stunk. So that would happen where they would have two guys work and it just wasn't a good match. They wouldn't air it. Or there wasn't enough time budgeted. See, ECW back in the day had 1 hour a week. That was it. So, you know, Heyman and the producers, they had to fit everything in.
Into 1 hour.
Yeah, we had like 5 pounds of bologna in a 2 pound bag. So you had to try to like, you know, some stuff didn't live. That's my point.
I gotcha.
But, you know, it's a normal thing to tape matches, but not with the top guys. So they're taping stuff with the top guys.
Yeah. And it's going to be you and Tony doing them?
I don't know who my broadcast... I do know who my broadcast partner is. I can't say. I'm not allowed to say.
All right, so, fair enough.
But I know when they tweeted it out over the weekend, it was great. I mean, the thing got... I think it got, I'm looking at it right now, over 234,000 views. And
that's great.
Like 10,000 favorites and, you know, so... Not, it's everything they do. I'm saying everything they do gets to your point. People love what they're doing right now.
Oh, they do.
So.
They're into it. So a lot of people are into it. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
That'll be a good time. And so when is it going to be? Is it live on their chat?
No. The matches are going to be, it's Tuesday. Okay. So the broadcast that I'll be doing a color commentary on will happen not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday. So that's when it's going to happen. So, but okay. I'm going to be there, and I'll probably help out behind the scenes too with some young wrestlers and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot going on during the day. So
it's next Tuesday that's happening.
The
show's this week, but it's airing next Tuesday.
Correct.
Okay.
It's airing.
Gotcha.
Their dark show.
Sorry, sometimes I have a hard time connecting.
No, a lot of people. and also because it's new. It's new. So their slot, what they do with their YouTube thing is. It drops 7 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday.
Gotcha.
So that it's a one-hour show, AEW Dark. So the one I'll be broadcasting will be not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday.
I gotcha. So the one that's going to be airing tomorrow night was done last week.
Correct.
Gotcha.
They shot that in Boston.
Gotcha.
This one they're shooting in Philadelphia.
Well, congratulations.
So, yeah. Well,
it's awesome.
All right. I don't make a big deal out of it.
No, but that's awesome. That's great news.
Thank you.
It's good to get you involved. And it obviously is a... As a former wrestler and a world champion, you'll be a tremendous asset to AEW.
Oh, I didn't. You got me. I signed a deal here.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying for just this. I mean, just to do this.
I think we both help each other.
I'm not putting the cart before the horse. All I'm saying is that this is great. This
is big
fantastic.
72 hours.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. You think it's big, Andrew?
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Why?
If Moose says so. I remember that one time Moose wrestled with a guy that you know in Patchogue. So, I mean.
Patchogue.
Kurt Hawkins. Hicksville.
It was actually Hicksville.
The great Kurt Hawkins. Yeah. Big Met fan.
Kurt Hawkins is the man.
Yeah, I love Kurt.
Actually, one of the guys that Kurt trained is a big star in AEW. His name is MJF, who's doing really well. A kid from Long Island who's doing great, great stuff for he's a heel, Bad Guy Jones, and he is funny as hell.
He trained with Kurt?
That he broke in under that school that you did your wrestling match
really?
In. That's where this kid trained.
Well,
MJF.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's very good. He's a very talented kid. Yeah. He's a Long Island kid. And, his name is MJF. He's been around for a few years.
Now, how does that work? I mean, I know it's all different, but does Kurt, like, manage him? Or
No. He's just a trainer.
Just trained him.
He broke him into business.
And that's it. Basically, gotcha.
Yeah, and then that's it. Yeah, that's how it works. He gets paid. You know, Kurt's school, they get paid to, just like where I went to wrestling school years ago. You get, you know.
Get paid to train guys, teach
guys.
Yeah,
you go, here's X amount of dollars, and they train you for whatever, you know, 7 to 9, 10 months.
I gotcha.
And you hopefully go on your merry way.
They'll
try to help you get booked with guys they know, you know, promoters. But, yeah, then you're kind of on your own, you know.
Gotcha.
That's how it is, yeah.
There you go. What's up, Bogus?
Oh, hey, guys. You might have noticed already this morning, but the Yankees didn't win. The Yankees didn't win.
Here's Carlos Correa. And he hits one to deep right. That goes Judge on the track at the wall. She's gone. Ball game over. Houston wins.
John Sterling strong in defeat on WFAN.
Well, at least he was on it. Fox was late. Did you see it?
Coming back from break?
They come back from break a little late, and they're talking about the strikeout to Sanchez.
Right.
The inning previous, as Correa swings the bat, and the ball is going over the fence. I mean, you know, Fox was late to it.
Whoops.
They get back late from commercial, and then Buck is talking about the strikeout to Sanchez, and Correa's hitting the walk-off home run.
I'm learning lately, Fox makes a lot of mistakes in a lot of different areas of sports. I'm just letting you know that right now, being honest.
Last night was not a good one.
So the Astros level
I know you
the ALCS with a 3-2 victory in 11 in Game 2. 2 years ago in the ALCS, Correa ended Game 2 with the Yanks with an RBI double bottom nine. Last night's winner came off Jay Happ, the LCS record-tying ninth pitcher the Yanks used. It began when Aaron Boone pulled James Paxton with one out in the third, down 1-0.
The bottom line is, you know, we end up, you know, giving up a third run in the 11th inning. And, you know, I'd say from a run prevention standpoint, it went pretty well.
Boone's bullpen got 23 outs, allowing just a run before Correa's winner. Game 3 of this series is tomorrow afternoon in the Bronx. An update expected later today on Giancarlo Stanton, who didn't play last night after pulling his quad in Game 1. The NLCS resumes this evening. The Nationals back at home, leading the Cardinals 2-0. Steven Strasburg and Jack Flaherty on the mound at 7:38 Eastern. The Pittsburgh Steelers went to L.A. last night, beat the Chargers with Devlin Hodges under center. The undrafted rookie QB got plenty of help.
Steelers show blitz. Rivers is going to throw this. That's a lateral pass, and it's dropped. And the Steelers pick it up, and they got it to the 10-5, and it's Devin
touchdown
Kirk into the end zone for a defensive touchdown.
As heard on Steelers radio, certainly sounded like Pittsburgh, but that game was in L.A. Devin Bush also had a pick. His team with three takeaways.
Good job by the Owls. Lay it out.
Yeah, I don't know who that is anymore.
I don't know who that is. I'm not sure who that is.
James Conner scored twice before an early exit with a pulled calf. The Steelers allowed 17 fourth-quarter points, but they won 24-17. Three-game losing streaks for the Cowboys and the Rams. Dallas falling short at the winless Jets, 24-22, missing on a two-point conversion with 43 seconds left. L.A. took a 27 home loss from the Niners. They are now 5-0. The Texans gave the Chiefs their second home loss in a row, 31-24. And Washington finally won, Moose, 17-16 in Miami.
All right.
The Dolphins did bench Josh Rosen after three. Ryan Fitzpatrick came in. A late two-point conversion failed, or they would have had a comeback win. Rosen, though, will remain the starter down in Miami.
They did it.
Lakers forward Anthony Davis gets an MRI today on the right thumb injury he suffered last week in China. The initial thought is no ligament damage. On the court last night, Zion Williamson, 22 points, 10 boards.
So because I saw an early report, they were fearful it was similar to the Breeze injury. That's not no longer the
that
case?
That was then, what's his name from The Athletic? Shams. I still don't know how to say his last
Shams
name correctly.
Shams Phanamium.
That's not it.
Okay. Shams Schnabitz.
The tweet yesterday or late Saturday night was that they didn't think there was ligament damage.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that it was just a sprain.
I gotcha.
Zion, 22-10 last night. The Pelicans, a 123-114 preseason win at the Spurs. And now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks.
Yes, we'll see exactly when he has that thumb looked at AED for the Los Angeles Lakers. How about Kirk Cousins yesterday, Taz, for the Minnesota Vikings? An Eagle defense that really struggled in coverage all afternoon long. Stephon Diggs, I don't think, is asking for a trade any longer. And I felt good for Kirk Cousins because of what his former teammate down in Washington had to say. Zach Brown, the linebacker, who's now a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, basically saying, you know, when you think about, I'm paraphrasing here, but, you know, that Kirk Cousins is what's wrong with that Minnesota Viking offense. And then Cousins yesterday goes out and lights up the Eagles defensively, dealing Diggs, I mean, had himself an afternoon, one big play after another. And then after the game, Zach Brown was asked about it. He said he'd rather just talk about the game, doesn't want to talk about Kirk Cousins. Listen, if you're going to make those comments about Cousins before the game,
yep.
and and you're going to make that, and you're going to rip them because it's the low-hanging fruit, and everybody's ripping Kirk Cousins, Taz, then after the game, you can't basically say put your head between your legs and or your tail between your legs and say, I'm not talking about Kirk Cousins. You can't be doing that.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right, because your street cred goes out the window, okay? It just literally goes out the window. I mean, I personally, I don't like when, you know, players, and you see it all the time, when they bury their former players, you know, and I see it happen a lot in wrestling when you stop working in a company with someone and they go and do, well, it used to be, they'd go and do some YouTube show and get, you know, $1,500 to go and bury everybody that they worked with, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And that happens all the time, like in wrestling. I think the YouTube thing's kind of dying out. But my point is, I hate that. I hate when I see it in the NFL or the NBA. I don't know your stance on it, but I mean, like, you know, take the high road, you know, and you didn't say nothing. You didn't say nothing and spit no smoke when you were teammates with Cousins. You know what I mean? Like, publicly, when you guys are sharing a locker room. Why, not that I'm saying he's sweating Cousins, but my point is, not just this situation, but I hate that when guys bury former teammates. I hate it. Does it bother you?
Oh, yeah,
you?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Bad look.
Because I think just, if you've got an issue, you should say it at the time. You'll never say it at the time because he's then your starting quarterback down in Washington, and you're obviously, you know, you have a job down there in D.C., and you're not looking to hinder or hurt that job down in Washington and playing for the Redskins. I agree with you. I think it's lame. Put the ex-teammate aside, Taz. I think, you know, it became so cool, like everybody and their mother. I mean, you go down to CVS or, you know, the local, you know, grocery store or whatever, everybody's ripping Kirk Cousins. You know, you're getting gas, you know, and whatever. The guy across the way is like, Cousins stinks. I mean, everybody's ripping Kirk Cousins.
Hold on. It's like the same thing we talked about last week with Richard Sherman. It was the same with Mayfield, right?
No doubt.
Everybody's ripping Mayfield, so he didn't. He got busted.
Right. And then all of a sudden Richard Sherman's like, well, he didn't give me, it was a petty handshake. Right. So now we're grading out the handshakes. It wasn't a masculine handshake enough. He didn't look me in, you know, he didn't look me in the eyes and basically say how great of a player I was.
I think he apologized now, right?
Didn't he apologize? Yeah, he did apologize. Yeah, yeah. Well, where else could he turn? It's almost like someone that got their hand caught in the cookie jar. Busted. What else are you going to do? There's nowhere else to go.
Yeah. No, you're right.
He got absolutely busted. But you're right. It's a fair comparison. Everyone loves to hate on Mayfield because he comes across as, you know, kind of an arrogant young quarterback.
Yeah.
And then Cousins comes across as an easy guy to pick on because he's terrible against good teams.
Yeah.
So, but yesterday, he had a lot of fun lighting up that Eagles team. I mean, Diggs had three touchdown catches. He throws for 333 and four scores and a touchdown as well.
Yeah.
Taz, as they still ran it 35 times for 122 yards, but, you know, they made those offensive weapons a lot happier as Diggs and Thielen and the rest of them all got their touches over the course of the game.
Absolutely. And Cousins, I mean, he was efficient. I mean, 22 or 29, like you said, 333. I mean, very impressive and great job by Cousins. I mean, so it's a big win at home. Now the Vikes are, 4-2? So they're looking pretty good. It's a big win. Robbie the Viking, you know, Robbie Rosenhaus, former famous man here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, he's still famous.
Kinda. And he, I get this, you'll appreciate this, Moose. I get this random tweet.
A tweet, not a text.
No, I'm sorry, a text. I meant to say text. I get this random text that just says, proud of my team today. This is at 5:18 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, nice.
What do I say here?
I don't know. Pete, give him an emoji.
Nothing, right, Pete? Nothing. I said, I did what Pete said. I said, no, I didn't reply to that.
Yeah, go dark.
I don't know what to say. It's not like him and I were in a discussion about the Eagles and the freaking Vikings prior to the game or during halftime. Proud
I'd
of my
block
team.
Him for you.
But he wants just to know that you were thinking texting. About him.
Thank
at
you.
One point on a Sunday afternoon.
You're exactly right. But
well, that's
but,
it. That's why I went. That's why I stopped responding.
Wow. But.
Because after the horse racing text I used to get from him,
gloating of the money is tough. That's gloating.
Well, yes, that's right. When I just had enough. I mean, it's one thing about the Vikings, and I'd be like, great job, Robbie.
Yeah,
and then move on. But he, however little time it was, Taz, he was able to get into your mindset, even if it was just for a minute. He knows he was in your mind for at least a minute on a Sunday afternoon in October.
You're right. But I'll tell you,
Robbie did his job.
I'll tell you this though, it's fun. You're right. But as far as Sunday afternoons, okay, there was a Sunday afternoon in late September when the Vikings lost 16-6 over the Bears. I didn't get a text like that from Robbie.
No, it's a front runner.
I didn't get no text. I got nothing.
You think I get a text when he plays a $100 pick six and he gets eliminated on the first leg? There's no text.
But when this news came out about me, A.W. Doc Jones, and all that, Robbie's going to be there.
Oh, no doubt.
This guy, he goes to everything.
I'm sure he'll be there when you're in Philadelphia.
I'm saying. He said he's going to be in Philadelphia.
I'm sure he will.
How does he get? How does he goes everywhere?
He works the room.
Pulls
out of shifts. You know, that's how you do it.
All right. He don't work here anymore, bro. Oh, he still thinks he works here. He goes to Minnesota Gopher games. Then I was dealing with that because, you know, I've always pulled for Nebraska a little bit. And I
think Robbie hit the lotto.
You just think he's got bank?
Oh, I mean, Robbie's got the life.
Either that or one of his parents maybe is a travel agent. I don't know.
Even if they're a travel agent, it costs money. I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, Robbie's got a nice bankroll.
Yeah.
He must be really hitting it with the ponies. I should ask him give me your picks for the weekend. Because, I mean, he's basically at Viking home games. I mean, he's fired up about the Golden Gophers. I'm sure he'll be down at Piscataway this Saturday when the Scarlet Knights are entertaining Minnesota.
Now, that's a homecoming game for the Scarlet Knights.
Yeah.
You're going to be there. Robbie's going to be there. You guys are buddies. You got to hook up. Go get a hot dog with him or something at the concession stand.
Yeah, I'll go meet up with him. If he's there, I'm sure he'll be there.
He'll find you. I promise you. He'll walk through, dude. Wherever you're doing, he'll have credentials. He will get through with credentials.
Oh, I know. I'll be sitting up in the press box.
Yeah,
he'll turn the corner. He'll tap me on the shoulder. Be like, "What's up?" And he'll be dressed up as the Minnesota Golden Gopher.
And clad in an athletic golden burgundy.
Yes, he'll be basically dressed up like he would, Minnesota through and through. There's no doubt about it. I'll be like, "Hey, what's up, Robbie?" And then he'll sidle on down, and we'll break down Rutgers football for the next 2 hours.
He'll wear like an old Viking, like an old Chuck Foreman jersey. Remember him, right? He'll wear like an old Chuck Foreman jersey. 44, I think it was 44 Chuck Foreman. I think he was, yeah. Or like an Alan Page. I'm showing my age here. Yeah, old Vikings. He's got Carl Eller.
You know
Carl
what that would be?
Wow, that's
you know
a
what?
One.
Yeah, that's yeah, another. You know what would be comparable for me if Robbie comes to the Minnesota Rutgers game? I took doing overnight to the Fan. My wife was like, start taking the train, right? Don't drive. Take the train. You can be home quick. You can relax. You won't have trouble falling asleep at the wheel. So I took the train on one occasion. The train broke down.
Oh, my God.
I was stuck on the train.
Oh, no.
Literally between two stops away from my stop for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
What compounded the problem was I was next to a guy that recognized my work from SNY and was a huge Mets fan.
Oh, my God.
And we broke down the Met farm system for 2.5 hours.
Oh, no.
I got off the train that morning. Oh, I called my wife. I said, I don't care what. And the guy was a nice guy. I will never take the train again.
How long was your shift on the Fan that you just got off the air?
4 hours, 2 to 6.
4 hours talking.
2 to 5:40 or 2 to 6.
Talking New York sports.
Right.
And you get on the train and you're breaking down.
I get on the train, right.
Stuck on
the train for what should have been a 55-minute ride. Took me well over 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
I walked in and I was like, oh, at least I'll get to sleep. Some guy, Mark Melusis. What's going on? What do you think about this? And proceeded, we started breaking down the entire Met Farm system for 2+ hours.
As the train sitting stalled out.
As the train sitting there, I'm like, when are we going? Please, let's get moving here.
You should have said you were someone else.
Dude, I had nowhere to turn.
Oh,
and I was trying to end the conversation, and then he'd be like, what do you think about such and such? I'm like, you know what? Yeah. You're good things.
I've had that on planes, man. It's and you're trapped. Next
you got nowhere to go.
Fans, you're trapped.
You got nowhere to go.
And that's when I just got to be a little rude. Say, I got to take a nap. I just close my eyes and put my hat over my face. You got to be a little rude. It's hard. I know what you mean, though. I do know what you mean.
I was fearful as I'd fall asleep.
He'd rob you.
No. I'd fall asleep, and I'd be up in Connecticut.
Well, that could happen on a train.
I know.
See, on a plane, that can't happen.
Right. On the plane, they'll wake you up.
You land.
Right. On a train, you know, I've known guys that have fallen asleep on a subway, and all of a sudden, they're in Coney Island.
Yeah. Guys, kid, walking out. Gosh, it's the Bell Park.
Yeah, he's like, where am I?
The hell I was like, trying to go Coney to Norwich. Island.
Right. Yeah. Luckily, they didn't get robbed. That was the worst thing. It'd be like, then all of a sudden, I was stuck on the train, and then I got another hour coming back and walk in the house at basically 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, conductors aren't walking around wake. Sir, I think this is your stop. That don't happen. For those people that live like in the Midwest or California, that don't happen here in New York.
No.
They don't wake you up. They let you sleep. Even if you're dead, they leave you there. Right. Till the rigor mortis sets in. Happy Monday.
Unless you're throwing up on yourself. Then they'll kick you.
Yeah, and they'll yell at you.
Yeah, exactly.
Get this friggin' bum out of here.
I wouldn't say kick you like that, but tap you.
Oh, look, yeah. That's
love true. Tap.
Yeah.
It's Daz and the Moose here on this Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is your boy, Oscar De La Hoya, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau Field with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific only on CBS. An interesting college football Saturday highlighted by really the stunner of stunners as third-ranked Georgia, who's complaining about their hedges being ruined by South Carolina and the winning Gamecocks. But South Carolina goes into Georgia and beats the Bulldogs 20-17 in double overtime. It knocks Georgia from the ranks of the undefeated. Now, Georgia could still, they can't afford a second loss, Taz, but you know they'll have to win that SEC championship game. They're still in play in terms of being part of those national semifinals and playing for a national championship. But you talk about a kind of a program-establishing victory for Will Muschamp and for South Carolina to win that game on the road in Georgia. That's a hell of a victory for South Carolina.
Big, dude. That's a big – I mean, I'll tell you what. We see shocking wins, underdogs, all this stuff. You know, this was big. This is a big deal. I mean, you got Georgia came in like ranked 3 in the country at the time. You know, it's just like Jake Fromm, who actually – played pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, 295 yards, but efficient was okay. He was 28 of 51 with one TD, but he had 3 interceptions. He played okay. Running game was there. Swift had over 100 yards running the ball. White, you know, had like 40 yards and change. But this South Carolina team was, you know, that second quarter, they put up 10. Okay, and they were just moving and rolling, but this is a big problem for Georgia that they lost this game because how tight these things are for the top 3 teams in the country, as we all know.
Yeah, and Georgia just, Taz, watching that game, I was like, did Georgia realize they had a game at noon on Saturday afternoon? They just looked out of sync.
They turned
the football over 4 times, right? They had a blocked kick. You're right. I mean, flat's the word. That's exactly the way they look. They looked flat as a doornail. And I was surprised by that. I thought Kirby Smart and that team would handle South Carolina pretty decidedly. I even thought that, you know, even when South Carolina was giving them a game, I thought, all right, second half, Georgia will take control of the game. And they just never did.
No, and Georgia dominated in regards to like first downs. They were, I'm looking at it right now, just grabbed the 30 first downs where Gamecocks had 16. I mean, that's a big difference.
It is.
And you still lose the game. Total yards. You had 459 yards, and the Gamecocks had 297 total yards. I mean, like, you know, you got to win that game. You're home. And as far as the hedges, that's a big deal. Those hedges, between the hedges, that's a big deal for Georgia that's a – You know, you can't mess with those hedges, man. Those things have been there a long time, and that's a big, you know, that's part of their tradition and their culture.
Oh, no question about it. You're right about that. And we'll see how Georgia bounces back here moving forward. LSU, they had their way with Florida. I mean, that was a pretty entertaining game on Saturday night, Taz.
Yeah, I caught some of that game.
It was a fun game. I thought it was one of the games that kind of lived up to the billing. I thought Oklahoma-Texas was also an enjoyable game, an enjoyable watch.
Red River Jones, Red River Rivalry
early in the day on Saturday.
Yep.
I thought those two games with the high expectations going in, LSU wins the game by 14, and Oklahoma and Jalen Hurts continues to stamp himself as the Heisman Trophy favorite. They win that game by a touchdown over Texas.
Yeah, no. But that LSU game was a lot of fun to watch with Florida for sure. I mean, it was a game, and you know, look, LSU won 42-28, But, I mean, for, geez, I would say, I don't know, just the, definitely the first half was tied up. It was a lot, it was just a battle. And then you started seeing LSU draw away. But, yeah, very impressive victory by LSU at home in Baton Rouge. But a good game.
Yeah, and I never, watching, I mean, I know we're up against it here. I never got a sense Texas was going to beat Oklahoma.
Oh, the Oklahoma-Texas game?
I thought Oklahoma was the better football team.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
They win the game. I just never got a sense that Texas was going to kind of find a way to win that football game watching it.
Yeah, for a while it felt it. I mean, it was you know, it was... They
I'm not saying they were non-competitive.
Yeah.
I just thought Oklahoma
like Texas
was the
too,
better team.
No argument. No,
Hurts was great.
Hurts was great.
And your guy, and JR, was on the sideline snapping
JR's
photos.
JR's always there. He's always there. He's the
tweet
man.
Tweet out pictures.
JR's the man. Now I'll see him. I'll see JR at the A.W. Jones.
We got the three coming your way next. It's Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.